Special offer on that day. Okay, before we get into counting, he says this. What it says, that on the morrow after the Sabbath shall the priest wave it. It is obvious that that means the day after the first holy day. Because of the context. Now I want you to read it and look at it. And we'll discuss a little bit about that, and then we'll put it on tape. Here is the question. As you read it, which day is the most obvious, if you use that kind of reasoning, that it's referring to? The seventh day, correct. Why? It was mentioned last. It is not obvious at all that it refers to the first day. Doesn't. It's not obvious to me. See? Okay. Though, now you see you have a little sleight of hand. Because now you stop here and you go to the New Testament, John 19. And what does it say about the day of the preparation of the Passover that the Jews had? You don't have to go there. And they didn't want the bodies on the cross because the next day was the high day, a high Sabbath, okay? And the Greek is their megale sabbato, which means a great day, okay? So then he says, see, that proves that that is a Sabbath, and that's the one that this is referring to, because in John 19, that's what it says. Oh, new truth. He hasn't proved a thing. He just made it, there is no inherent proof in it to come to that conclusion, see? Good, you're all sharp, see? If you study God's Word enough and think with God's Word, then what you're going to do is be able to have a firm foundation and basis on which then to make a conclusion. Now, then what happens? He goes to a lexicon and says that the word Shabbat, which is right here in verse 11, Shabbat, which means Sabbath, okay, can also mean week. However, the word Shabbat has never been translated week. The word week in Deuteronomy 16 is Shabua, which is everywhere translated week. Okay, so you have a problem. Technically, you could say that. You could call the Sabbath week. Okay, but here it is Shabbat, and that's the same word that is used just across the page in verse 3, which says, 6 days shall work be done, the seventh day is Sabbath of rest to the Lord. So number one, his reasoning to say that it is obvious that the Sabbath, Shabbat here, refers to the first holy day. In the context of Leviticus 23, it does not say the first holy day is a Shabbat. It says it's a holy convocation. And you shall do no servile work therein, because you could do whatever work's necessary for the feast. No problem. But on the Shabbat, the Sabbath, it says you shall do no work therein, verse 3. Okay? Now, let's go on down here. And it talks about waving the sheaf and so forth. Let's come down to verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. This is a correct literal translation in the King James. Okay? Okay? 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Okay? Now, The word to count from comes from the Hebrew, which is pronounced mimakarat, which means beginning with. Okay. Now, I know exactly how we can prove this with your job, Lionel. You work what?
From Monday to Friday.
Okay. Now, if you have the reasoning that it is exclusive counting, see, you go into your boss and he gives you the check. Then you look at it and you say, well, I am only paid for 32 hours, but I work 40. This is, well, no, you work from Monday to Friday. So we don't count Monday. Because it's from. Ding, ding. That rings bells, right? See, so even in English, from is inclusive when you are talking of time. Okay? You work from Monday to Friday, which means you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 5 days. Okay? So it's the same way here. When you count from the morrow after the Sabbath, it doesn't say the first holy day. It does say Sabbath. There is nothing inherent in what is said here that in any way means the first holy day. If there's anything inherent in here, if you want to draw a conclusion that it would mean one of the holy days, as you pointed out, could only mean the last holy day, not the first one. Okay? Now, go ahead. Okay. So the reason is that if you look at the context here and you say there is the first holy day in verse 7, which it does, and there is the seventh day, which is a holy convocation, verse 8, then if you say that the Sabbath here in verse 11 has got to logically, because of the context, flow from the first holy day, that logic is not correct, because the Sabbath here then would have, if that is the case, would have to logically refer to the seventh day, not the first day. Okay? Now, unfortunately, I don't have... Did you follow that? Okay. Okay. In other words, in the context here, if you read it along, it says the first holy day, holy convocation. Okay. The seventh day is a holy convocation. Now we talk about the wave sheaf offering, and in your mind, you don't know which day this is referring to, because it says on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So someone comes along and says, aha, it is obvious from that context that that means not the regular Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, not the seventh day of unleavened bread, but it's got to logically mean the first day of unleavened bread because of the context. That's what William Dankenbrink says, see. So maybe you missed his logic there. His logic has a slip in it. And the slip is this, is that the first day in verse 7 is followed by the seventh day, which is in verse 8, which is followed by verse 11, so there is no logical connection back to the first day. The logical connection in the context would be to the seventh day if this word, the Sabbath, is referring to a holy day. Okay? Okay? But he says it logically refers back to the first day. Yes. In reality, it's neither. That's correct. Yeah, the comment was made that even though some people don't like all these technicalities and we're recycling a lot of different things which have been recycled long ago, that we need to get into these technicalities and we need to understand them, especially when it says beware of false prophets. Okay, which ones do we have to beware of? Okay. All right, now we're not going to be deceived by Lord Maitreya, okay? We know that. We're not going to be deceived by the Pope. We're not going to be deceived by the chief rabbi. We are not going to be deceived by the Catholic priest. We're not going to be deceived by Protestants. Who would more likely deceive us than anybody else? Someone who's been in the Church of God for a long time. That would be the most dangerous. Now, nowhere has Shabbat been translated in the King James week. Nowhere. When you go to Deuteronomy 16, so let's go to Deuteronomy 16, okay? And Deuteronomy 16 has a little problem with Pentecost, too. Did you know that? Does anybody know what the little problem with Pentecost is in Deuteronomy 16? Not where you begin to count from the time you put the sickle to the corn. That's not the problem. There are two distinct things here which have to be adjusted by Leviticus 23. There is no beginning day, and there is no ending day definitively stated, number one. And it does not tell you 50 days, number two. So that means that in Deuteronomy 16, though it's informative, though it does say 7 weeks, you cannot establish doctrine on this because it is not definitive. Okay? Verse 9. 7 weeks shall you number unto you, begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as you begin to put the sickle to the corn. Doesn't tell us which day. In Leviticus 23, it says, on the morrow after the Sabbath. Now you've got a definitive place to start once you understand what that Sabbath is. Don't you? Yes. Okay? And you shall keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord and bring a tribute offering and so forth unto the Lord according as the Lord has blessed you. Doesn't tell you the exact day to begin, and it doesn't tell you the exact day to end. Feast of Weeks. Okay? You shall keep the Feast of Weeks. It says 7 weeks. Okay? Now, even in the Hebrew interlinear, as it translated, and also in the Hebrew, you're kind of stuck with week. Because it means a full week. Now that is understood in relationship to a month. What is a full month? 30 days. Okay? What is a deficient month? 29 days. Okay? So when it says complete week, which it does here in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean you start in the middle of 1 week and you come to the middle of another week. Though it is 7 days, that seven is not a week. Because a week runs from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Complete week from day 1 to day 7. Doesn't mean you start on day 3 in 1 week and you end up on day 2 for your 7 days in the next week. Those are deficient or incomplete weeks. Okay? If you ask someone to work for you for the week of, and today is the 16th, 15th of April. If you say, I want you to work for me on the week from the 15th of April until the 23rd, 7 days. I want you to work the week of the 16th for me, okay? That you would know that's a complete week. But if you said, I want you to work for me from the 20th to the 27th, you would have to say, well, that's part of 1 week and part of another week, and I can't do the full week because I could do a full week, but I can't do two parts of a week. Okay? Even on today's calendar, that would be. Okay? So, when it says here, on the Sabbath, and it is Shabbat, okay, it does mean the weekly Sabbath. Just from the context, there is no other thing you can conclude from it, because it's not clear whether it's the first holy day, and by the way, it does not call it a Sabbath here in the context, and it's not clear that it's the seventh holy day, and it's also not called a Sabbath here in the context, okay? The Sabbath, or Shabbat, has got to be the weekly Sabbath as it falls during this time, okay? Now, verse 15, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Now you could change, you could make that weeks, but if you do, it is a complete week, which means that you do have to start on the day after the Sabbath. If you translate that week, you can't have a deficient week. Okay? Unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, which is Shabbat, 7 Sabbaths shall you number 50 days. Now, if it were fixed during the day, like the sixth of Sivan, as it is today with the Jews, how would God express it then? He would say the sixth of Sivan. That's correct. That's exact, because you would have the exact day. It would never change. There would be no need to count. Why would you count the weeks? You know, and then Bill Dankenbrink uses the analogy, well, it's just like people counting down to Christmas today, of all analogies to use. I mean, you know, the reasoning gets wild. Okay. And I suppose there would be some very diligent people that could tell me how many days it is until Christmas. How many shopping days are left today, okay. But if you're going to denounce, see, the true logic is, if you're going to denounce a pagan day and try and get away from it, why use the analogy then of people counting down to Christmas if that's a pagan day? See? I mean, it becomes really terrible. Now, so what I have done, since Bill Dankenbrink said that, he said that in the Septuagint it says the first day. Now, there are also some people who say that the first day in the Septuagint means beginning with the first day of the week. So I've read it, and that's a possibility. It's a possibility. So in the Septuagint, it says, and I will read it to you. Okay, let's see if I can find that. Okay, here we are, Leviticus 23. Go to the next page here. Okay. Now it says, let's pick it up here. 7th day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you enter into the land which I give you, and reap the harvest thereof, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall lift up the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the first day, the priest shall lift it up. Sorry, but that is not in the Hebrew. It is in the Septuagint. Now you see why it's important to know a little bit about the background of the Septuagint, because you can say, was that added in at a later time? It's possible it was. You can't say it was. You can't say it wasn't. But it's possible that it could have been, okay? Especially when you understand that the Jews also had a temple in Egypt. How many here know that the Jews had a temple in Egypt? In Elephantine. And guess what? They worshipped all the sun god. They had all the pagan things, but they kept they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread and they kept the Passover, but they calculated time from sunrise to sunrise. Okay? So, you have part of this influence in here. Okay? So it does say the first day, but sorry, that is not in the Hebrew. Okay? Now, let's go on. And you shall offer on the day which you bring the sheaf a lamb without blemish of the first year for a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and its meal offering, two-tenths meal, and so forth. You shall not eat bread nor new parched corn until this day, until you offer the sacrifice to the Lord, perpetual statute, and so forth. Now, verse 15. And you shall number to yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. In this case, it didn't say first day. So this leads me to believe that, is this telling me in internal evidence that maybe it was tampered with up here in this verse and left alone down here in verse 15? From the day after the Sabbath, from the day in which you shall offer the sheaf of the heave offering, 7 full weeks. Full weeks. That's correct. See, so from the so what does this tell me? This tells me that someone put in first day in there sometime at a later date. So I cannot be guaranteed that Septuagint is correct. Okay? Now another thing, when you look into the Greek here, the word is ton sabbaton, which is an interesting thing, which, since we're waiting for the other brethren to come, let's do a little bit of other study here.